learning to talk. Quality conversation requires not only sympathetic learning, but also self-revelation. When a spouse says that I wish my partner would talk, I never know what my partner is thinking, or I never know what my partner is feeling, the spouse is pleading for intimacy. They want to feel close to their partner. But how can they feel close to someone who they don't even know? So in order to feel loved, a person must learn to reveal themselves, especially if your spouse's primary love language is quality time and the dialect is a quality conversation. You could do everything else, but the emotional love tank will never be filled until you are able to express your thoughts and your feelings, until you are able to have these deep conversations with them. Now, self-revelation does not come easy for many of us. Many adults grew up in homes where expression of thoughts and feelings were not encouraged but condemned. And I'll give you a few examples. If you grew up in a home where when you requested to buy a toy, or when you showed that desire for a certain toy, and you would receive a lecture on the state of the family finances, the child would then go away feeling guilty that, you know, I should not have asked for that toy, I should not have made that request. And they learned that I should not express those desires. Or when a child expressed their anger, the parents responded with harsh and condemning words. So the child again then feels that this is not, I should not be expressing my emotions, or I shouldn't be expressing my feelings. This is not appropriate. So even if it was just something that the child wanted to do something with the parent, and they were told that they're not allowed to, or in the manner that it was told to them made them feel that my emotions and my thoughts and my feelings should not be expressed. Now that memories or that experiences in their childhood, they then take it with them as they grow up, and by the time we reach adulthood, many of us learn to deny our feelings. We're no longer in touch with our emotional selves. So when you then come into the marriage and your spouse is looking for that deep conversations or that quality time, that quality conversations, you aren't able to express yourself. So you have to start again from the beginning in order to learn to express your emotions, to learn how to be in contact with your emotions. And you need to learn, you know, that language of quality conversations. And it has to start from the very beginning. You got to go back to the basics if you are in a situation like this, where you have to, like, note down some of the emotions that you feel, and how do certain things make you feel, whether it's someone that has been tailgating you, whether it's someone that has stolen your parking at the mall. How does that make you feel? Does it make you feel disappointed? Does it make you feel angry? Does it really get you upset? To get in contact again with those emotions, so that when you are speaking to your spouse, when you are discussing certain things with your spouse, you are able to then open up to them. That self-revelation is an important part in building that that relationship, building that that trust between the husband and the wife. And many of us just shy away from it. We don't want to express our emotions. We don't want to express our thoughts. We don't want to express our desires. And when the partner or when the spouse does something that upsets us, we go into, or we bottle it all up, we keep it to ourselves. Our spouse might not be even aware that this has upset my husband, or this has upset my wife, because we are hiding that feelings, and then we expect them to know that I'm upset with them, and they should apologize. But it doesn't work like that. You know, there's good or quality conversations, quality time, all of this year, where you are able to openly express yourselves in a manner that is dignified, in a manner that you're not being abrupt, you're not attacking the person, but just being able to express that, the self-revelation. It helps in building that relationship. And there are a few things thereafter that when we are speaking to our spouse, or when we are expressing it, or when we are sitting down and talking, you know, there are a few points that we need to keep in mind there as well. That one of the points that they say that when you are then expressing your feelings, or when your spouse is expressing their feelings to you, make sure that you maintain eye contact. When your spouse is talking, make sure that you maintain eye contact. That keeps your mind from wandering, and you are able to communicate that at this moment you are the most important thing. You have my full attention as well. And don't listen to your spouse and do something else at the same time. And all of this here, you know, you'll find it in many books. You'll find it in these marriage books. You'll find all of these pointers and articles on how we should, you know, how to build good communication and all of that. But if you look into the Sunnah lifestyle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you'll find that these very qualities were there. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would greet someone, he would not retract his hands until the other person did. When he would speak to someone, he would give them his full attention. He would not move away. He would not shift his attention until that person had finished the discussion. So likewise, when we are speaking with our spouses, or when they are speaking to us, maintain eye contact. Don't listen to your spouse while you're doing something else. Where you need to give them that undivided attention. If you are watching something else, if you are reading or doing something else, it gives off this message that this is not really important to me. I don't really need to listen to this. But if you had to close that book or off the television or switch off and really give them that full attention, it would make them feel appreciated, and they'll feel more comfortable in then expressing their thoughts and their desires. And if you are very busy at that time and you really cannot make it and you really cannot give them that full attention, then be open about that as well, that can you give me 10 minutes, can you give me 15 minutes, can I just wrap up this work, can I just finish doing this, and then I will give you my undivided attention. You'll find that most spouses will respect such a request, and they will understand, okay, 10 minutes later I will get back to you and we'll speak about it. And refuse to interrupt. I think this is a very important one. Studies show that a person can listen for 17 seconds before interrupting and interjecting a person. So don't do that. Let us try and listen fully to that person, whether they speak for a minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes. Listen to them without interrupting or interjecting them. And thereafter, when they are done, if you had any thoughts, if you had any opinions, then you express your thoughts and your feelings. But give them that undivided attention. Give them that that time to be able to express their feelings and their thoughts. And especially when a person is really opening up to you and they're really speaking to you about their fears or their feelings, if we keep on interjecting them, if we keep on interrupting them, they might feel that this also is not important, this I shouldn't be discussing, and then they go again into that, into their own little bubble, or they bottle everything up, which is not really healthy. So we spoke about this you know, a few weeks back on the marriage program as well. That good communication, that is something that happy couples have in common. Being able to listen, that is also something that happy couples have in common. And these are some of the pointers that needs to be taken into consideration. That whether it's being able to express your feelings and your thoughts, that self-revelation, and when you are the listener, then to keep those things in mind, give them the full attention. Don't listen to your spouse and do something else at the same time. You know, listen for the feelings, observe body language, and don't interrupt and interject them while they are speaking. 27 minutes past the hour of 9 here on the marriage program. You can send us your thoughts, you can send us your opinions as well on the show, the WhatsApp number 072-786-1548. You could SMS us on 48855. Later on in the show, we're joined by Uncle Idris Khamisa, and this week we continue with that discussion. What do happy couples have in common? So as the listeners out there, you tell us as well, you share with us your thoughts. what is it that makes a happy couple, or what is it, what are the qualities that a happy couple have, or what is it that happy couples have in common? 072-786-1548. We play for you a clip by Sheikh Abdul Nasir Jangla, in which he speaks about addressing those youngsters that would like to get married.
But just a little bit of advice. You know, there's a lot of younger people in our community who are trying to get married, interested in getting married, dare I say, desperate to get married. And I understand. It's natural. It's a part of our deen. It's a part of our human nature. Number one, understand what our deen teaches us about marriage. We're so sometimes focused on the superficial, that character, that nobility, that integrity, that honor, that is what really matters. That runs deep. That tells you more about the person than anything else. Look for character, look for integrity, don't look for nobility. Yes, compatibility, of course, that is the essence of compatibility, and fine, there are other things, and that's fine to take them into consideration. But remember, that character, that integrity, that nobility, that's the most important factor. That is what the Prophet ﷺ meant when he said, فَاثْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ. That's deen, not superficial deen. We have too much of this mindset. He's got a beard, she's got a hijab, match made in heaven. Right? We got too much of this mentality. Character, integrity, honor, nobility, dignity, quality, character. Look at that. That tells you more about the deen and the person's relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else.
Radio Islam International, medium wave 1548.
Don't look at all the superficial things, as you had mentioned there, but rather concentrate on what is it that will make that marriage good. And as you mentioned there, that when you're looking for a spouse, when you're looking for a partner, then look first for the person who has good character, the person the person who has good character and his deen is good as well. And not to say that you shouldn't focus on the other things as well. You have to be attracted to that person. You should be happy with their looks as well. But the most important thing would be the character of the person, and of course in terms of their deen as well. And look at if you will be compatible with one another as well. And many times when people are looking to get married and they feel that, you know, years have gone by and I still cannot find a partner, we shouldn't become despondent, but rather continue to try and find that partner, continue to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything has been stipulated and the time will come for it, and we shouldn't become despondent. Many times you meet people and because so many years have gone by and they are unable to find a spouse, they feel that this is not for me. No one's really going to marry me. No one's going to propose for me. But that should never be the case. That Allah has, but rather continue to be positive. Continue to try and find a spouse, and continue to make dua to Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. And eventually, with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dua will be accepted. We're taking a short break. When we come back, we are joined by Uncle Idris Khamisa, and we continue speaking about what is it that happy couples have in common.
ماں باپ قربان اس مقدس نام پر ہوں میری ماں باپ قربان اس مقدس نام پر عائشہ کے سینکڑوں احسان ہیں اس نام پر عائشہ کے سینکڑوں احسان ہیں اس نام پر ہوں میری ماں باپ قربان اسم کا دس نام پر ہوں میری ماں باپ قربان اسم کا دس نام پر عائشہ کے سینکڑوں احسان ہیں اس نام پر پیاری اماں عائشہ پر ہوں خدا کی رحمتیں پیاری اماں عائشہ پر ہوں خدا کی رحمتیں جس کے عفت کی گواہی دی کلام اللہ نے جس کے عفت کی گواہی دی کلام اللہ نے جس کی غیرت کے نشاں ہے دامن ایام پر جس کی غیرت کے نشاں ہے دامن ایام پر عائشہ کے سینکڑوں احسان ہیں اسلام پر ہوں میری ماں باپ قربان اس مقدس نام پر عائشہ کے سینکڑوں احسان ہیں اسلام پر پیاری اماں عائشہ پر ہوں خدا کی رحمتیں پیاری اماں عائشہ پر ہوں خدا کی رحمتیں جس کو بخشا تھا پیمبر نے حمیرا کا لقب جس کو بخشا تھا پیمبر نے حمیرا کا لقب مہر و مہ کی رونقیں قربان اس کے نام پر مہر و مہ کی رونقیں قربان اس کے نام پر عائشہ کے سینکڑوں احسان ہیں اسلام پر ہوں میری ماں باپ قربان اس مقدس نام پر عائشہ کے سینکڑوں احسان ہیں اسلام پر پیاری اماں عائشہ پر ہوں خدا کی رحمتیں پیاری اماں عائشہ پر ہوں خدا کی رحمتیں جس کے فرزندوں نے سیلِ بے قراں کے روپ میں جس کے فرزندوں نے سیلِ بے قراں کے روپ میں اپنی سطوت کے عالم لہرائے روم و شام پر اپنی سطوت کے عالم لہرائے روم و شام پر عائشہ کے سینکڑوں احسان ہیں اسلام پر ہوں میری ماں باپ
Right, we do have Uncle Idris Khamisa on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And once again, Jazakumullah khairan for joining us on the show.
You're most welcome. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
We've missed you over the last few weeks, Idris bhai.
You know, I miss you too. You know, I miss the listeners also, you know.
Mm.
And but this is the nature of life. And sadly, there's a time when there's going to be a separation, isn't it? And inshallah, Allah make it easy for us.
Inshallah. Idris bhai, we were speaking a few weeks back on what is it that happy couples have in common. And just to rewind a bit and look at some of the points that we did cover, we spoke about, you know, being a good listener. They are good listeners. They are able to speak, and there's good communication between the two of them. They leave things in the past, things that have gone by. They don't become historical. I remember at least by saying that you don't continue nagging about the things that had happened in the past. But if something had happened and you have moved on, you don't bring it up again. Understanding one another, knowing one another, these are all important points and things that happy couples do have in common. We continue this week, at least by with the next few points as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's something we cannot stop talking about because really, you know, I find, you know, a lot of pettiness, you know, with people. And in the sense that they need to really say, you know what, how can I make sure that my wife, my husband is happy? You know, what do I need to do differently? And these are important things that we got to bear in mind, you see. And so it's really because, you know what, it is so sad. Gone are the days where only young marriages are breaking off. Also, marriages that have been there for some time are also breaking off.
That is so true that, you know, the rate or the number of divorce, as you know, is high, but you have many people in today's time that even though they've been married for 10 or 15 years, you find that, and you would think that marriage is safe. I remember when we were studying that our teachers would tell us that, you know, if you get past that 3-year mark or that 5-year mark, then inshallah that marriage will go the distance. But we hear so many stories nowadays where even people that are married for 15 or 20 years, the marriage seems to them break off. But it is by coming back to that point of what is it that happy couples have in common. And one thing that you had mentioned to me, and we'll discuss that, is understanding your partner and understanding that there might be a few things that they do a bit differently, and each person is unique in their own way.
That's very, very important. You know, for example, before we look at peculiarities, right, you find that you might have grown up in a home where you all did not have many visitors. You know, people didn't come there, stay with you all, and you all led a very cloistered or close kind of existence. But your partner grew up in a home where they've been socially very active, cousins coming there and whatnot. And naturally, this has a profound impact on your personality. The one is that one person is socially gregarious. The other person is awkward, does not like people to come around. Right? And then what happens? Then the husband, for example, wants to invite maybe his family home, wants them to come. And the wife is very, very reluctant to encourage that, or vice versa. So this is something you've got to understand. So the most important aspect before you go on to this point is to understand exactly who your partner is, as we said this many, many times, and ask yourself, what is it that makes them happy? And now this issue about entertaining people, being good to people, is something that all of us should be like that. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very warm, very hospitable, so on and so forth. Now then, the second dimension is that, you know what, all of us, as we said, are unique, and we may have some peculiarities. We may have some, what you call, idiosyncrasies, some things that are peculiar to us, and it's something that we grew up doing, and long as it's not offensive, we should not take umbrage or not get upset by it. And all of us have it, you know, in different ways. And we need to understand that sometimes is the way we respond to situations. I know, for example, of some people very, you know, almost fastidious when it comes to social etiquette, and which is good also, which is very, very good. And so you need to respect that. So when you're dealing with those individuals, if, for example, you're married to someone that is very, very concerned, which it is very good, you know, about social etiquette, then accordingly, we must respond, you know, in that particular way also. You know.
It all comes down to understanding your partner and taking out that little effort and learning and picking up on these things. You know, we sometimes go into that, we just, you know, go through the motion. We're not really interested in learning about this, understanding and what type of a person they are. And we sort of expect them to, you know, just to fall in line and know exactly what is it that I want or what is it that I expect. And very seldom it doesn't, very seldom it would happen like that. But rather it's all about understanding them, getting to know them, knowing what is it that they like, what is it that they are very particular about, or what is it that they dislike. All of this here comes into putting effort into that marriage and learning and speaking to them so that they can express themselves as well.
Now, very, very important. What you're saying is so, so true. And you know what? in the end, you know, respected Maulana, this is the bottom line. You know, there are so many challenges out there in society, economic challenges at work with your boss, and people go through so much of deprivation, the stresses of modernity, traveling, and all of that. You know, it's very, very challenging. And what do you want at home? You want Sakina, you want peace of mind, you want someone who understands you. And these are fundamental things. Of course, I'm not saying it's one-sided. You also got to understand if your wife is at home, we need to also understand what they are going through. I mean, the whole thing is that, you know, there are people who say, you know what, I cannot go home and tell my wife that today I had a difficult day. And she might say to me, no, you're always complaining. You know, what do you do that is so difficult? You understand? So these are things you got to understand, man, you know. And in the end, we regret it. We regret it when we have not done what we're supposed to do. And when you lose your loved one, you say, my gosh, I had no idea that all these responsibilities, unbeknown to me, was being done by him. Now I realize what it is to be without a partner.
That is so true. It is by, you know, that whole point of understanding one another, knowing one another. You know, another thing that leads up to it, and in the message you told me this would be the second point, is that learning not to provoke one another. And this is something that I think I've spoken to a few people, and, you know, they've all expressed this to me or something similar to me. He says that even though my spouse knows that I don't like a certain thing, or I don't want something to be placed in this manner, at times they would do it, and that then makes me angry, and then, you know, it leads to an argument. So if you know what sort of ticks off your partner, you should just stay away from that. You know, sometimes I actually spoke to one person, and they told me that, sometimes my spouse would do this, and I would get angry, and later on they would tell me, I knew it was going to make you angry, but I just wanted to see how you respond. That surely wouldn't be healthy for a relationship.
That is irresponsible behavior, you know. And, you know, this is it. The thing is this, that I tell people, and that woman, essentially, we said this many times, she wants undivided love. A man wants respect. I say to the woman that if you want your husband to die for you, you make sure that you are good to his family, his mom and dad. You're good to his brothers. And let him not see his mom or dad through your eyes. This is important. In the end, all parents want the kids to be happy. And this is a fundamental thing. But sadly, when you have not understood what it is to be a woman or a wife or a mother or a father or a husband, then it's very, very problematic. So I think this is a very, very critical thing that we need to understand. And do not provoke each other. You know what? There are people today are reluctant to go home, you know. They're very, very reluctant to go to their own home because they say, you know what, that, you know, if I were to go home now, I'm only going to go through stress. I'm happier at the workplace. The people in the work show more compassion, more commiseration and understanding. And we are living in very, very stressful times where depression has become common. So I think it's important, you know, as our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reminded us, and how we should treat each other with dignity and decorum, with respect and love.
Elisa, I'll just share with you some of the messages that are coming through on the WhatsApp and the SMSs to the listeners. It's 0727861548. That is the WhatsApp number. You can share with us your thoughts, share with us your opinions as well. Just on that point that we spoke about now, Elisa, to provoke one another. And this is basically a person that would want some advice that even though many times it has been expressed that this, I don't like this, or I don't want you to do this, and the partner keeps on doing it, then what should be done? How can you effectively communicate that so that that person can take heed and that person would then stop doing that?
For me, if you have tried everything humanly possible, then I think, you know, you know, you get someone and you go for some kind of counseling, or get someone that you know who both of you respect, and to raise the issue. Because in the end, I think I don't want to make a value judgment. I'm just going basically by this particular call. I think it is grossly irresponsible when you become so provocative, you know, if you do this persistently. But you've got to also ask yourself what is he doing so persistently? Are you not perhaps maybe overreacting? You know, maybe the issue is not so serious. Or what is it all about? You know, you've got to also ask yourself that particular question. And you've got to deal with it, because in the end, sometimes it takes one issue that can exacerbate a situation and can create problems, you know.
We are discussing that what is it that happy couples have in common. You can share your thoughts with us as well. Moving on to the next point, you know, those points that you sent through to me earlier. We spoke about, not to provoke one another and so forth. And the one point also is having generosity at heart.
Very important. Well, generosity of heart is unlike if, generosity in terms of money. It's about showing compassion, to be loving, to be caring, and to be compassionate. All of these things. In the end, you know what happens is when there is that kind of generosity, then you become far more tolerant. You are not petty. You accept others around you, and it makes a big difference. And when you when you have a generosity of heart, you have peace of mind. And it's when you withdraw that generosity, when it's about you, me, myself, I, then it becomes, you can never be happy. When you're concerned about yourself on a personal level, then I think it's not, you see, then it can be very, very problematic. So it's important for you to have a generosity of heart. And generosity also means that you listen with empathy, with understanding, and you are forgiving.
And building that quality within you, it must be part of your character and who you are, that you are able to look at it from the other person's perspective, that not only focus on yourself, what is it that makes me happy, what is it that I want, what is it that I need, but look at your spouse and think, what is it that they want, what is it that they need, how can I make them happier, not only thinking about our own happiness, that in the end of the day, we are a couple, we are together, and our happiness is... We need to, if the one is happy, the other will be happy as well. So work on it together and only not only focus on yourself. We tend to, after a while, we only worry that what is it that I want? How am I going to be happy? What are my goals? How do I achieve my goals? And we don't focus too much on our spouse. But if we have goals that are set together, if we do things that bring happiness to both of us, that is all things that will just help and assist this marriage to last longer.
Now, that's a fundamental thing, you see. Remember, when you get married, it's not about me, it's about us. It's not about you, it's about us. It's very important, very critical. It is, you know, they say, I wasn't an artist, but if you have, blue paint and yellow paint, if you mix it, you get green paint. What I'm saying, it is this togetherness gives you really a new identity. In other words, you get meaning with each other, through each other, and at the same time, you do not lose what is essentially yours. You know, you do not lose your blueness, as it were, or your yellowness, as it were. And I think that's important.
Mm-hmm. Before we do end off the program, you know, the last point that we can look at this morning on the marriage program is that happy couples, the one thing that they have in common is, you know, they support each other and they're there for each other through prosperity and hardship.
Now, that's a fundamental thing. You know, we hear many, many sad stories of the fact that, you know, when I had the money, oh, my wife was the happiest woman in the world. I've been through this, you know, I'm going through a challenge. Now she is saying, I'm used to it, I'm fit for nothing, or, you know, whatever. Or it could be the wife's side and everything else. And this is the whole point about marriage, you know, if you're going to go through thick and thin. The bottom line in the end is this: yes, you'll be challenges on this earth, But the most important thing, the biggest gift your spouse can give you is when they are supportive of you and they help you to attain Jannah. That's the bottom line in the end. It's very, very critical. And you know what? For me, if you go through any challenge, you want the most amount of support from your spouse. If she gives you the support, then you know what? You don't need anyone else's support. Of course, you need Allah, that's for sure. And this is fundamental. Where you come home, no one is judging you. Where you can be yourself, you know, where the beast in you can come out and be yourself. And the wife must say, I like it. You know what I'm saying? These are important things. I like it, you know. Because you sometimes go through the community where you've got to maintain a particular persona and image. And if you show other parts of your behavior that may not be antithetical to Islam, they might judge you quite harshly. Because people tend to put each other in compartments. You know, you're the headmaster of the school, you know. You should not be walking around in Bermuda shops and all that, you know. Or you're supposed to be a Maulana and you are in your Bermuda shorts jogging. But you should be having a tasbih, Maulana. I have no respect. I respected you in the mosque, Maulana. You should have no holidays, you know. What if Maulana wants to go for a holiday? You know, he must be here. You know?
Yes.
He must be here. So you know what I'm saying to you? So the whole idea is that, you know, we need to really be ourselves and to love each other, to hug each other. And the last but not least, but we're going to do this program again next week.
Inshallah.
Last but not least, inshallah, is the fact that happy couples never stop saying to each other, darling, Shusha Babalina, I love you. You do not hug each other enough. They look at each other with eyes of love without saying anything. And you tell your wife, darling, baby, I love you. And she'll say, yes, I know. Yes, I know. And I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. Inshallah,
just expressing that love on a daily basis. Jazakumullah khairan, Aziz Bhai, for joining us on the show, and we'll speak to you next week as well.
Inshallah, you take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just a few minutes left, just read out some of the messages that have come through. One saying that we are married for 50 years, and I'd like to say that what Idris Bhai says is so true. It's we should work on focusing on us, not on me, myself and I. And understanding love is very important in a marriage as well. Another one that comes in, and I think this was with regards to the clip that we played earlier of Sheikh Abdul Nasir Jangda about those that are looking to get married or those that want to get married, and saying that sometimes it's when you meet people and they ask you, how come you're not married yet? This is what makes you despondent. It's the society, it's the people that create this this despondency in a person. Many people would make comments like, are you very fussy? Why is it that you are not married? Oh, you're already 26, you're already 27, you're getting old now. You know, we shouldn't be making these type of comments. We shouldn't be speaking to people in this way, but rather encourage them, and encourage them in a good way, and not in a negative way, in a positive way. Encourage them. It could be that that for the past 3 or 4 years they really wanted to get married, they wanted to find a spouse, but they haven't just come across that person. And you find them, this becomes at family functions or at any gathering, they look at them and they start eyeing them out, and how come they're not married, what is wrong, what is that. Let's stay away from those type of comments and rather encourage them in a positive manner. With that, we do come to the end of the show. I will be back with you next week, inshallah, from myself, Ibrahim Daya, and our studio operator this morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.